1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
Margaret Gray joins us, nationally syndicated newspaper columnist. Her column, A Little Bird Told Me, appears in some 150 newspapers nationwide. And you've recently gotten into renting. You speculate in real estate, is that correct?
Well, we do when you say speculate, Phil, we don't buy large commercial properties. We do purchase homes, we do purchase townhomes, apartment buildings.
And why do you do that? Obviously, real estate speculation is ultimately to make a profit.
Well, we do own them to rent. Sometimes we do flip them, what we call in real estate, flipping them or selling them. In other words, you buy it and you improve the property, then you sell it. And it's really my business. Frank is not all that interested in real estate, but I love it. It's a great business because you have the opportunity to wheel and deal, but you feel good that maybe you're providing a home for someone. And certainly in the last year, it's been fairly lucrative in California and elsewhere. You want to be able to rent to families and help them get a start, a young couple.
So you're selling, you're not selling so much as you're renting them.
That is correct, yes.
All right, I wanted to ask you, today we see more and more single-parent homes, a father or a mother, a single parent with one or more children. Are you seeing more renters like that?
Yes, I have seen that. I've seen a few, and I have to be honest with you, I'm very careful with them.
Why is that?
Well, I'll tell you why. First of all, you don't see a lot of single fathers with custody of the children. When you do, you know, your heart goes out to them a little bit. A father alone with his children, and of course he's working, but I worry a little more about the single mother, as do many landlord owners or rental agents.
Why?
Well, it's a little bit of a horse of a different color. Single mothers present a little bit of a different challenge. If I'm renting, I need to be assured that the financial situation is secure. When you're a single mother of, let's say, two or more children, and it's a little difficult to ask, but you want to find out if the children are all from the same man, and I'll tell you why.
You ask them if the children are all from the same man. You know, that reminds me of my sister was actually babysitting some kids, and somebody wanted to know, are those your kids, or are they all the same father?
Well, it's not a question you ask to insult anyone. When you see a single mother with two or more children, it is a logical question to ask, are these all children from the same man? And I'll tell you why. In terms of making sure the rent is met, it is not likely that she's getting child support. If, for instance, she's in the habit of sleeping with different men, it's none of my business, but it does create a lack of consistency. The other consideration is...
Well, if a woman is the mother of children who are the children of other... of more than one man, you're making the assumption that she's in the habit of sleeping with a lot of different men?
It is something you need to consider. A single mother with children, all of these things you have to consider. And no, it's not a question you like to ask, no. But
What was the other consideration?
Well, most of these single mothers generally are in the service industry as cocktail waitresses, food servers. They work takeout windows. And if the job is minimum wage and they rely on their tips, if they are a husky-looking young lady or they haven't had great dental care or any of this sort of thing, it will be tough. Again, my responsibility is to make sure the rent is paid.
And so if she's relying on tip money...
If she's relying on tip money, that's something else you have to think of when renting to single mothers.
Margaret Gray joins us. We're talking about renting. I find this interesting, talking about single mothers and the hazards of renting to single mothers. Are they sleeping with a lot of different men, I guess, is the question, because
it is not a moral question, Phil. It has to do with whether they're able to make the rent if they're getting child support. It's doubtful if they're getting child support if they're sleeping with, as I said, if they're sleeping with a lot of men. I don't know the responsibility there.
And also if they have service industry jobs. Our number is 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Single mothers with children are a little bit tougher to rent to. Aren't you kind of profiling here? Let me ask you.
Well, no, Phil, we're not.
No, let me ask you. When you're renting townhomes financially, it's a bit of a step up. The women, the single mothers that will want to rent from you might not be cocktail waitresses. or something like that, right?
Well, that is true, but then it comes to, when it comes to single mothers, you have other considerations as well. You have your other renters to consider. You want to look out for their comfort and their well-being, and to, you know, you look, the look of, the, you know, some of my renters, a single mother is a woman who obviously is looking at some point for a man. And I don't want to rent to a woman who's going to be a threat to someone's marriage, what we used to call a home wrecker. I don't want a woman who is, you know, casting around and looking at other women's husbands. You move a single mother into a townhome development where there are a lot of...
Let me interrupt you here, Margaret, could I?
Certainly.
It sounds to me like you're profiling these women. In other words, you're saying, like, what a lot of people used to say about black people. Well, you know, they do this and they do that.
No, it's totally different. It's, no, Phil, that it is, it's an unfair comparison.
Well, wait a minute. I don't want to rent to a black guy. Why? Well, because they're lazy and this and that.
No, that is wrong. You're absolutely... A single mother, it is not racism, because we're talking about women that could be of any different ethnic persuasion. In other words, this is true of single mothers, whether they're black, white, brown, yellow, gray, or what have you. So no, it's entirely not the same thing.
All right, isn't it unfair, though, to single mothers to say that their intent is to steal some woman's husband? You know.
Well, what, I'll tell you what's unfair, is if you rent to one of these single mothers, and to be nice, you didn't charge her a security deposit. And in the case of this one mother that we rented to, she had two children. The carpeting near the front door was basically threadbare as the result of a parade of men going in and out of the townhouse. And I know it sounds harsh.
Well, wait a minute. If you've got four children...
No, I know it sounds... A woman can do whatever she wants. Either they're entertaining men at some unreasonable hour, or to comfort themselves, they let the kids sleep in the bed with them, and the room begins to smell. You can't get the smell out of the drapes. The carpeting suffers. We had this one mother who rented from us, and the child was a bedwetter, and it took six steam cleans to get the stink out. And I can tell you...
All right, look, if I can...
No, I can tell you, Phil, this doesn't have anything to do with profiling, though. Because, again, profiling is racism. And even for you to bring that up...
I don't mean to offend you, Ms. Gray.
But I think it does send the wrong message when you bring that up.
No, I don't mean to. And I'm not trying to send a message that you're a racist. I just simply asked if you say that single mothers... Now, you're saying that the carpeting in this house was threadbare because, quote, of a parade of men coming... I mean, isn't that a little harsh?
You know what, Phil? As the man said, I make them. I don't repair them. You know, is it harsh? Yes. Is it true? Yes. She's a single mother looking for an active social life. In this particular instance, the other couples in the complex certainly wanted to befriend her. But it's obvious when the woman is alone and you are a married woman and you see this single woman move in, it's obvious that she's casting around looking to sink a hook into one of the men there, whether they're married or not. The people in this complex would have none of it. And so, sure enough, it didn't take long, but you could almost clock it. Within probably 2 weeks, there was a Tournament of Roses parade going in and out of her place, a parade of men, along with the four children. Now, I don't judge what a woman does. It ruined the carpeting, the stench in the drapes, the stench in the bathroom. The mattress was destroyed by the bedwetting. All of this is something you have to take into consideration.
Are you taking a bath?
I am, Phil. Forgive me, but Frank and I are leaving. We have an 11 o'clock flight. We're going to Austria.
And really?
Yes, and we're very excited about it. So if you don't mind me multitasking...
No, I can hear you taking a bath. All right, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Margaret Gray joins us from her home in Santa Monica, and we're talking about renting to single mothers. You don't want to be cruel, but renting to single mothers, if you are a owner, landlord, is hazardous. Now, she's mentioned some things. You don't want to rent to a single mother because she's maybe looking for a man, and other women find that threatening. There's a parade of men coming in and out of the house. She may be a cocktail jockey. She may be... There's a few things here that sounded to me like a profiling situation. Nonetheless, single mothers have got it tough. And they certainly are looking for a place to live that's safe, clean, good schools, like anybody else. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Relocating the edge and jumping over.
Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
All right, we're back with Margaret Gray. Ms. Gray is not only a newspaper writer, she's also a landlord. She rents to a lot of families in townhomes. Where are most of these, by the way?
We have a lot of very beautiful units, Phil, out in the Pasadena area. It's a wonderful area, good schools.
So naturally, single mothers are going to want to go out there.
Families are going to want to go out there. My priority are the families, the nuclear families. A single mother, I will look at them when they come to rent, and I don't make any bones about it. I will look them square in the eye, and I will say to them, you are to stay away from the men in this complex. They are married men, and I really don't want to hear about you trying to get your hooks into any of them. Now, if you agree to that, I will look at the rest of your application. So you pin them to the wall pretty quick.
Even women you just met?
I'm sorry?
Even women you just met?
You have to be clear. Otherwise, you're going to be in for a world of... There's the possibility of venereal disease. Palimony suits.
All right, okay. Let me just get to some phone calls. 1-800-449-8686. Jay Lynn, hello. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi, I'd like to make a point in regards to the fact about single parents. I happen to be a single parent, and I am a career person. I actually am a homeowner, but the point I'd like to make, first of all, is that single parents, single moms or dads, are generally the hardest working people in the industries. Reason being is because they don't have the luxury of a second income.
Well, you're profiling. Therefore, now. You're profiling, and I don't think you can do that.
And actually, so have you been. So in fairness,
I guess I
am.
That's the point I was trying to make.
Yeah.
Well, actually,
I live that life, and I happen to work in the real estate industry also. I have worked in mortgage and in escrow for the last 10 years.
Well, then you know what I'm talking about. You know that first of all, single mothers, I'm not trying to say anything other than you've got to...
Okay, no, you have made the point that... Single mothers with children that have multiple children with different parents are basically what you were saying are loose, and that they have bad morals. Well, I actually have three children, one of which is from a prior relationship whom I was married to.
Well, that's my point.
And
that's my point.
Well, no, but you know what? You were generalizing, and so in fairness, let me share this.
Yeah, let the lady talk.
But she's admitting to what I'm saying. You know, multiple partners.
Sure.
Well, she was married you were married more than once, right, Jaylen?
Yes, I'm actually in a relationship. I'm married now again,
right.
But yes,
yeah,
I was married. I have only been with very limited people, so therefore I don't fall into your loose category. And it actually is very insulting because I work in the same industry you do, and actually probably make just as much, if not more, money than you do.
Jaylen, I'm not saying that you don't work hard. I totally understand.
Right. But what you're saying
is... I also admire you. I admire you for going out, for rising above what you, you know, in an essence, you've risen above what you are to become a homeowner. But these other women who are renters, looking around for every man in the complex, coming out to the pool, going over to the Coke machine... Everything
yeah, but you're
hanging
saying
out. Everything
you're
hanging
basically
out of
saying You're basically saying, though, that because I'm a single mother, that I'm going to be gallivanting around looking for men in your complex if you were to rent to me, which is totally ludicrous.
There is
because
issue.
You know what? Listen. That is totally ludicrous because you know what? Just because you are a single parent does not make you a whore. Therefore, that does not...
Well, okay. You know,
that
whatever
is,
you
that
say.
Is,
look,
that
how
is
did you
not,
get... You say you've been married twice.
How old are you?
You say you've been married twice. How did you meet the current husband?
How did I meet him?
Yes.
Actually, I went to high school with him.
Well...
So does that make me
were
rude?
You date? Were you dating before him?
Excuse me? No, actually, I didn't.
Well, like I say, you're a homeowner, so I don't think we can judge single women on you.
No, but she's
you know
saying
what?
That when she was a renter, she
but
wasn't
I was
loose.
A renter.
Yeah, when she was a renter, she wasn't loose.
No, she didn't say that. She said when she was a renter, she had multiple children by multiple partners. Now she's owning.
Okay.
Okay.
But you know what? I think you're missing the point. The point is that you have generalized...
All right.
You have generalized that single parents are loose, incapable of holding down a family lifestyle.
Have you ever worked takeout?
No. Well, actually, I take that back. When I was 15, I did.
All right. Well, that doesn't count, but...
All right, look, Jalen, I think you've made some good points. I'm going to move on. 1-800-449-8686. Here is Barbara. Barbara, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Margaret Gray. Go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, hi, Barbara.
Ma'am... May I ask you, please, to cover up? I mean, I really don't like this picture, and I'm not certain our viewers do either, of you flailing around naked in the bathtub. While
oh, you've, really,
how
you've got an imagination,
other,
don't you? You've really got an imagination.
While discussing while
Let's
other...
Stick to the point.
While discussing while other women that have had a bad relationship and had to divorce and remarry are trash.
Have you been drinking?
No, ma'am, I don't drink.
Have you had a stroke recently?
I had a stroke on February 17th, 2003.
All right, there's still a little bit of paralysis in the tongue, isn't there?
All right, well, we don't have to point that out, do we?
No, I just wondered what...
Well, I do have physical therapy,
Barbara,
med student now.
I'm the host of the show, Barbara. You're fine. Go ahead with your comments.
Thank you.
Well, I just noticed some slurring.
Go ahead, Barbara.
And I noticed the flailing in the water. That is just so
you've
rude.
You've got a real imagination, and I'm beginning to be very
well,
uncomfortable.
Well, you said you were in
thought.
The bathtub.
I'm very uncomfortable with your comments.
I'm uncomfortable with yours, ma'am.
What have I said? You're noticing that I'm... What, are you imagining my naked body in the water? I mean,
oh, come on, ladies. Can't we get
I've
past
said,
this?
Well, she
right,
wants to comment on
the
my
point
body,
when you stated that incontinent child... needed to be shunned away. That is such a sad, pathetic way of being.
Have you quit fantasizing about me in order for me to go over this?
Just forget about what she said.
I don't fantasize about you.
I said that a single mother certainly has it very difficult, but as a landlord, I must take into consideration the fact that she'll have men parading in and out of there at all hours. I have other people...
How so?
I'm sorry? I own a duplex in Altadena, one half of a very lovely couple, the Walkers. The other I rented to this Julia Beckett, who was a single mother, three children. I'm very concerned. She sent over some bacon to the Walkers that is... Are you listening to me?
Yes,
or is your nurse there?
No, actually, my son just came up to me and spoke to me. He's a little more important.
Who? Your son?
Yes, he's 23.
So you were able to have children even though you were paralyzed?
I'm not paralyzed.
Well, you said that the whole left side of your face was paralyzed.
I never
no,
said
she
that.
Didn't say that. She didn't say it at all. Listen, Barbara, thank you. 1-800-449-8686. I don't want to keep harping on anybody's maladies.
Phil, she commented on the fact that I'm taking a bath, and I apologize to your listeners. I'm trying to, as I said, multitask. I have a son that I have to get over to his uncle's house tonight. Frank and I are leaving for Austria. I did promise to be on your program. When you have a woman calling in, I'd like to stick to the point. I'd rather not have women calling in and fantasizing about me taking a bath. I'm trying to get clean. I'm not here propping my legs on the tile wall with the faucet running.
Okay, come on. Can we just please stick to the point here? 1-800-449-8686. Single mothers, are they a good person to rent to? Margaret Grace says, unfortunately, no, they're not. It has a lot to do with their morals and the kinds of jobs they have. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
That ain't cucumber dressing.
Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
With me is Margaret Gray, the nationally syndicated newspaper columnist about single mothers renting and how it is a hazard to rent to single mothers. And again, you're in the middle of your bath there, Margaret. We don't want to take up too much of your time.
No, it's fine, Phil. I wanted to thank you, and your listeners' indulgence is appreciated. Can I mention a story from my childhood, which I think is going to go a long way toward people recognizing really why I'm right about single mothers. My mother, Brenda, was a single mother. My brother and I grew up without a father until I was in my early teens, and my brother, John, was 8 or 9 years of age. And it is difficult to tell other people that have normal childhoods what it's like to grow up with a mother where every night you could hear squeaking bed springs and laughter, and the clinking of glasses, and more squeaking bed springs. This was terribly traumatic for me. My mother loved to drink Courvoisier. To this day, I hate Courvoisier, and if anyone tries to serve it at a party, we had a party catered for my niece when she was married, and I told the caterer, I said, if you bring Courvoisier into my home, I will get violent. I won't just ask you to leave. I will get violent.
All right, so you were traumatized. Okay.
But I had a single mother. You understand? And this is why I had a call from Jim Riley, who this gal, who was a single mother, moved in. She's leaning against the door jamb saying, have you got change for the washing machines? This is what they do. And I raced right over there. As soon as I heard from Jim, I got in the car, I raced over, and there she was, lying by the pool with all of her bleached hair. These are the things I'm trying to say.
All right, 1-800. Let me just get into some phone calls here. 1-800-449-8686. And again, I understand your childhood experience. Talk about single mothers are a hazard to rent to. Is it Surinder?
Yeah.
Yes, sir. You're on the air on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, sir.
Okay. Actually, I have a question for this lady. Like, first of all, I want to ask, is she a single or is she the...
I'm married.
You're married?
Yes.
Okay, like, what's the main reason for you to, like, tell people that, like, it's not right? Like, why
you... Were you listening to the show, sir?
Me?
Were you listening to the show?
Yeah.
Okay, then you should have all the answers to those questions.
Okay.
What's your comment?
My comment is, like, why is she sitting, like, single?
No, I'd like to answer his question.
No, we don't... If the man was listening to the hour, he knows the answer to those questions.
Okay, I have another question. Why is she treating a single mom
okay,
or
sir,
single dad?
If you listen to the hour, then you have the answer to those questions, but thanks for calling. 1-800-449-8686. Vanessa, go ahead.
Thanks, Phil. I appreciate your show, and I just wanted to say, Margaret, I am sorry that you had a traumatic upbringing. You are speaking to a single mother who has raised an 18-year-old daughter who has just been accepted to a UC university under honors.
Are you a renter?
I am a renter, and I, unfortunately, like 90%, if not more, single parents who work extremely hard would rather not be single parents, but this is the lot in life that has been dealt to us, and we work very hard, and for you to sit there and say that you don't want a profile, you are being hypocritical, because that's all you have done since you've been on this show, because I've been listening for the last 45 minutes, is you have profiled people and put them into a category, and that, my dear, is very prejudiced. Single mothers and single fathers work their tail off to give their children of a lifestyle that they try to be mother and father, and you sit there providing the conversation with antics that are not logistic nor factual.
Hold on for a minute. What is she saying, Vanessa, that isn't factual? The statement that single mothers are cocktail jockeys, this kind of thing?
Yes, absolutely. that they're whores,
no,
that
oh
they
bring God,
men
no.
in and out of
no.
their apartments,
please
and that they track places in and out.
All right,
Darling, my apartment is used by my property managers to do financing annual assessments for their increases
How
for their property.
How do you get men? How many jobs do you have right now, Vanessa?
I have one job. I work for a university.
Okay.
And I'm going for my master's degree.
When you are there at your apartment complex, you're trying to tell me you're not flirting with the men in the building?
Absolutely not.
Oh,
I am raising
God.
A daughter.
Oh, my God.
Well, are you calling her a liar?
Well, she just said she doesn't want to be single.
I choose not to be single, but I also chose to prioritize my life when I became a single parent to raise my daughter to do the best job and then become whatever life allowed me to become. But my first priority is to be a parent.
Have you ever had the dean over for dinner?
Hold on. Can I ask, what is the sound?
It would be inappropriate, and if I would, I would be going over to a function where he and his wife would be among several other couples or adults.
Right. Vanessa, hold on. What is that? Margaret, what is that?
I'm sorry, but I'm drying my hair. If you want me to stop?
Yes, it would be nice if you'd stop.
We have a plane to catch. I'm sorry. Vanessa, first of all, if your 18-year-old daughter were here, I'm sure she'd tell me that she had quite a few, shall we say, uncles. I am not putting you down for that. A woman's got to survive. Believe me, sister.
Margaret, there has not been one man in my apartment for 18 years. It wasn't my brother from biological brother, my friends from church, or...
Can you turn the hair dryer off, please?
So you are assuming a lot, and you know what the word assume means broken down when you take out you and me.
Well, what do you mean you don't have men coming over? Do you not prefer men? I mean, I could go
I prefer men. I desire to be married, but as I've stated, listen clearly. People are listening to you. I'm asking you the same thing in return.
Go right ahead.
My priority is to raise my daughter. I wake up at 5:45 every morning. I do my reading. I get my daughter's breakfast. I help her get ready for the day. I take her to school. I then go to work. I work until 6 o'clock at night. I drive home. I do her dinner. I spend time with my daughter when I'm not doing homework because, as you hopefully
heard
earlier...
Well, let me ask you the obvious question. Did she sleep in the same bed with you? Were you one of these women that needed to have someone for comfort?
No, we live in a two-bedroom, wonderful apartment in
San
Diego, California, with wonderful landlords, and I have been here for 10 years.
Do you have complaints about the smell when she was younger? When she was younger?
Absolutely not. When you give a child a bath and you
haven't had a man in 18 years, you must spend a lot of time in the market looking at the
people. There are no problems.
Did you hear what I just said?
No, I did not. I was answering
your question. If you haven't had a man...
Well, I heard what you said, and I don't think it's appropriate.
Phil, if she hasn't had a man in 18 years, she's probably spent a lot of time in the market looking at the pickles.
Aren't you funny? Aren't you funny?
Darling, I am going for my master's degree. Are you a parent?
I most certainly am. I have a wonderful son who is an aspiring actor.
Will you turn the hair dryer off, please?
Correct. You know what it takes to raise a child.
I do. It takes a man, as well as a woman, and a stable income, and not someone who is going to raise eyebrows around the complex because your jeans are cut off a little short and there's no bra under the halter top.
You know what,
darling?
Unfortunately,
Jerry.
A very small population. One bad apple does not spoil the whole tree.
Well, that's true, but the smell of Dilma sends you to the moon.
Are wonderful.
All right, Vanessa, thank you very much, and I have no doubt that in your case that's absolutely true. Thank you for your call.
Thank you.
1-800-449-8686. And
did you hear what I said?
What?
The smell of dill must send her to the moon. What do you think of that, Frank?
I find it very offensive. That lady made a number of very wonderful points about a lot of hardworking women. She doesn't have all kinds of men taking her to the.
I'm sorry.
She doesn't have a lot of it. She doesn't have a lot of it.
Did you say something?
Yeah, I'm on the radio right now saying something. 1-800-449-8686.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil Henry Show. The Phil Henry Show is back.
And we're back on The Phil Henry Show. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. Jerry, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yes, I think this lady is very disrespectful. She's on the line with a hair dryer and got nerve to judge the single women. Who, where's she coming from? And how in the world is she going to tell the woman they're about pickles? She must be using her pickle herself.
You know,
number one. Let me tell you something, young ladies. I'm 52 years old. I raised 4 kids up by myself, worked 4 jobs raising them up. Never had no problem with my teenage girls.
Well,
I didn't have no problem with boys running to my house, neither men.
When you are renting...
No, let me finish talking.
Go right ahead. Do you mind if I dry my hair?
Yes, I do mind.
All right, then I won't. I'll walk out with hay hair. Thank you very much.
Well, you need to, because you disrespect the host and the other person that called before me. You disrespect them, too.
I don't remember.
Just go ahead, Jerry. Go ahead, because you're making some good points.
Let me tell you something. I have 3 girls and 1 boy. I never want my girls to say they have seen men in my house. I never had problems for my teenage girls, they boys in the house, or even my phone ringing 24/7. I never had that problem. It's because I prayed and taught them the right way.
Oh, I beg your pardon. I'm a married
woman. Yes, you are, because if you got a nerve to call single women those names, you're talking about yourself.
Jerry.
Well, coming out your mouth, that's exactly what you are.
All right, hold on, Jerry. I want to let Margaret respond.
Jerry, I'm just going to say this. When I was a little girl, I saw a cartoon.
You must look
now,
little
may
girl
I finish?
Rape or something.
Is the host there?
Because you
is
have
the host
a
there?
Hold on. All right, Jerry, let her finish.
When I was a little girl, I saw a cartoon. It was a Daffy Duck cartoon. And he had a cousin visit from the South who was African-American, and you sound like him.
All right.
Raymond, I want to tell you something.
Sounds
you
like a black Daffy Duck.
You sound worse than he does.
Jerry, because if you were that busy with 2 jobs and raising 4 kids, the Lord Almighty, I bet you were hanging around a cow tongue.
There's no way that I would get on the phone in a bathtub or disrespect the host by drying my hair while he's talking. That's so disrespectful.
No kidding. No, that's a great point.
Then you can talk to the single women, okay?
What was Daffy Duck's black cousin named?
I think it was David Duck or something like that, or Duriel Duck.
Duriel Duck.
Yes.
Jerry,
For you to call people pick out that lady because she had a stroke, who you think you are? Are you gold or something?
Look, Jerry, I don't have the luxury of a weave. I have to dry my hair. You'll look pardon.
But you must
I
be
bid you adieu. There, it's dry.
Jerry, I think you made some great points. Sorry you've been disrespected tonight. Ms. Gray, you've disrespected an awful lot of people. And
I don't see how, Phil.
Well, you have. And I think that you owe it to my listeners to at least give single women the benefit of the doubt that they have a very tough lot in life.
I have to keep drying my hair. Do you mind?
Go ahead.
Frank, hand me the dryer.
Anyway, as I was saying...
Oh, no, Frank, I'm in the bathtub!
Can I ask you, do she have daughters?
I've lost connection to the line, Jerry. What was your question?
I was wondering, do she have daughters?
I think she only has the son.
That's her problem.
Yeah.
Because she don't have daughters to love.
This is
she,
true.
She just...
well, I don't know about who she's loving now. I thought
I'm quite sure the way she's talking... She must be was talking about herself, about the pickles and stuff, because that was so disrespectful.
Well, it was absolutely disgusting. Yes, Ms. Gray?
I just want to ask Jerry, before you go, hold your cheeks back and say I was born on a pirate ship.
You must have done and say you were born on a pirate ship.
Listen, Jerry, thank you so much for your call.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. I thought you got electrocuted in that bathtub. Hello?
Yes, I did too.
Get out of here.
Well, you're the one making me do the stuff that...
What do you mean, hold your cheeks back and say I was born on a pirate ship? What's that going to sound like? 1-800-44... Oh, I get it. 1-800-449...
I'm just drying my hair.
Get out of here, bud. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
You would stick an ice pick into a baby to save a cougar in a bush.
888-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back. Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
I don't understand how you possibly, first of all, can compare yourself being a gay man, gay journalist, to slavery. It doesn't even compare.
Well, ma'am, are you gay?
No.
Oh, and I'm gay.
So I'm blonde. I don't see how that can compare.
Wait a minute, blonde? So in other words, being blonde, people have beaten you up for being blonde?
No, but I'm just saying
Did you ever walk out of a bar and have two women beat you up because you're a blonde?
No. But right. How does that compare to...
Now, don't you feel a little stupid? Don't you feel a little stupid now, having said that?
No, right, well, what I'm saying is how you possibly can compare you being gay to slavery is a... to me. It's not the same thing. And you keep talking about Nicole Kidman. Nicole Kidman's an actress who got paid millions of dollars to do this movie. It wasn't there during the Civil War, nor was I, nor were you. It's a movie. Character she plays, and you act like she...
Well, no, you've seen Nicole Kidman. You've seen how beautiful and elegant she is.
She got paid millions of dollars to do it. She didn't have to do it. She did not have to go do this. It's a role, Doug.
That's the point I'm trying to make, Doug.
Well, look, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and I'm an incredibly strong man. Well, you say, so what? Like, you hate gays? Is that it?
No, I'm saying, you keep pointing that out. What does that have to do with the Civil War? You're gay.
All right, you make some good points, Nancy, but I would say this. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. As such, I'm a very strong man. But I was almost brought to tears when I saw Nicole Kidman, and I've been out of the closet almost 3 months, and no black person's going to tell me that. Did you see the movie?
No, I haven't.
Yeah,
I'm a gay man.
On those two women that beat you up because you're black. Because you're gay. Shame on them.
Well, two women didn't beat me up. Two guys did, but...
shame on men, and they should be in prison for doing that.
But you know I'm gay, right?
Well, yeah, you keep pointing that out.
All right, the fact is that Nicole Kidman is writing a letter to her lover, and his name is Iman or something, I forget his name. And she's writing a letter, and you can see the dirt under her nails.
What kind of dirt do you under the nails of the black people do you think they had? I mean,
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Roseville, did you ever see the movie Roseville back in...
Rosebud?
Rosebud, yeah. Did you ever see that?
Rosebud, no. But
that
I'll tell you this.
Horrible. I'm ashamed to be a white person after seeing that movie.
But here's the thing. Slavery was a fad like anything else.
It wasn't a fad. How can you possibly...
What do you mean a fad?
The white person did that was so wrong to black people.
Ma'am, quit trying to cozy up the blacks, okay? A lot of white women like to cozy up the blacks so you can dance with them at clubs, and I understand that. And
Come on, will you?
I'm saying I'm cozying up to gay people because I like to dance.
You've been bashing me since you got on the air, so you couldn't...
I said shame on the two people that beat you up. What I'm saying is,
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Why don't you ask Mommy to scoop you an extra helping of dumb tonight? Phil Hendry Show with Phil Hendry. West of the Rockies, dial 1-800-449-8686. East of the Rockies, dial 1-800-449-8686. First-time callers, dial 1-800-449-8686. And the wildcard line is 1-800-449-8686. And now, here's Phil Hendry.
Doug Danger is joining us from the Orange County Courier. Doug is an entertainment writer for the Courier. And I want to ask you, Doug, I know you're going to be doing a feature on the Great Smokeout, the cigarette smoking, the American Cancer Society day that's been going on for a lot of years, right?
Phil, the Great Smokeout is over 20 years old. And I have been wanting, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, I've been wanting for a long time to write about our society's trend toward reckless behavior and our society's trend toward risk-taking among the American people, really walking out on the edge. And that's really what my article on Sunday is going to be all about.
I know, but this is about the. But your this article has to do with the Great American Smokeout.
That is correct. And let's talk about this thing, the Great American Smokeout, which is an effort on the part of the American Cancer Society to get people to quit smoking. And it's an admirable goal. It still is an individual choice to pursue an activity that's not prohibited by the laws of our country. Smoking may not be healthy, but we certainly have the right to smoke, and we have restricted smoking areas. And we've not outlawed smoking. Now, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and I wanted to take a look at the Great Smokeout and how it's another American tradition that encourages people to engage in dangerous behavior. And so what we're...
No, hold on. The Great American Smokeout does, not the smoking? Because I would think that it was the smoking that's the...
Well, the smoking is, of course, dangerous, but the Great American Smokeout is a tradition trying to get people to smoke that I think is every bit as dangerous, reckless, and cavalier in a way. And I'll tell you what, I'm a gay man, and I'm a gay journalist. I've been out since September, and I smoke cigarettes. And I want to say that as a gay man and a gay journalist, I do smoke cigarettes. And for the piece that I'm writing on the Great Smokeout, what I'm going to do is go into areas where there are a lot of people, but where smoking is not prohibited, where you can... technically smoke. That could be at a baseball stadium, maybe a football stadium, out in the mall someplace. And that could be just about any public place, really. And I'll light up a cigarette.
Now, are you trying to get some reaction?
Not so much trying to get a reaction as see if there will be a reaction. See, I'm looking to see who will come up to me, if any. And this is what I mean when I say reckless behavior. And actually tell me to put the cigarette out or make some comment negatively about my smoking. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and I want to see how deep this risk-taking behavior and dangerous behavior runs.
In telling someone that you don't like their smoking or commenting on their smoking, how is that risk-taking, particularly with the fact that you are very vocal as being an out... gay man and journalist.
Well, as I told you, I'm a gay man, I'm a gay journalist. I go into a situation like that, I light up a cigarette, I wait to see if someone is actually going to have the temerity to walk up to me and ask me to put it out or make some comment. That's going to be interesting.
Because it'll take what? As we say, some cojones? Or...
Well, as a gay man, as a gay journalist, and I would like you to go... Here's what I would like to say. They'd say, I'd like you to put that cigarette out. And then I would say to them, okay, and I'm gay. Now what do you think about my smoking? See, I understand you don't like my smoking, but I want to tell you that I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. Now what do you think about my smoking? And then I'll see if they will persist in their comments. Because once I say, you don't like me smoking, well, I'm gay. Now what do you think about it? See, there's a little bit of an intimidation. I wonder if they'll persist in their comments.
Well, that's what I'm trying to get to. Why is there intimidation based upon you being gay?
Well, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, so someone comes up to me and says, would you put that cigarette out, or I don't like you smoking, or it's bad for you, and in other words, coming up to a total stranger not knowing anything about him and making this comment, when I then say, yeah, well, I'm gay, now what do you think? They're gonna think twice. I mean, I don't know. I would like to see who has the guts to tell me to put it out once I tell them I'm gay.
All right, Doug Danger joins us from the Orange County Courier. Our number, 1-800-449-8686. Today is the Great American Smokeout. The American Cancer Society has been conducting this promotion, if you will, for a number of years to get people to quit smoking. Have you ever thought about, and Doug Danger joins me, and I want to ask you a little bit about your cigarette smoking, Doug. You are an out gay man. As part of your article that you're going to be writing about the Great American Smokeout, you're going to be out there smoking a cigarette somewhere in public, and you're going to see if someone comes up to you and tells you to put it out. You call this an investigation or study into the risk-taking of the American people.
That is correct.
Because it's a risk?
Well, as a gay man, as a gay journalist, you see...
Well, why is it intimidating, or why do you imagine that it would be intimidating? Let me give our phone number, too, Doug, forgive me. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Why is it intimidating, or why do you imagine that it would be intimidating for someone to come up to a gay person and tell them to put their cigarette out, or tell them they don't like their smoking?
Well, let me just back up. I'm a gay man. I'm a gay journalist. Since I came out in late September, I've walked a long and very arduous road. I mean, dealing with discrimination, dealing with hate speech, dealing with attempts at bashing, dealing with bigotry. This is a road that I've walked as a gay man, as a gay journalist. Am I really going to take seriously somebody who acts recklessly and without any regard to their own well-being? They walk up to me and ask me to put my cigarette out. Now, it's this kind of risk-taking that I want to document as a gay man and as a gay journalist. We're a society, Phil, that for some reason wants to live on the edge more and more. And let's see how far out on the edge people want to go. How far into the dangerous unknown do people want to go to walk up to me, a gay man and a gay journalist, and tell me to put my cigarette out? I mean, that to me is going to be a very fascinating exercise.
To say that, you know, you make a good point when you say, as a gay person, you have had to deal with bigotry and you've had to deal with hate speech, and I suppose it does toughen one up. The thing that interests me is you say someone coming up to you and asking you to put your cigarette out or making a comment on your cigarette smoking is reckless.
Absolutely, yeah.
Or risk-taking behavior.
That is true.
I mean, you make it sound almost as if it's extreme sports, you know?
Well, I wouldn't call it extreme sweat. I suppose they want to make that a sport, you know, tell someone to put their cigarette out. But
you're saying, who has the guts?
Well, it is reckless. You walk up to a gay man and a gay, you walk up to me, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, you tell me to put my cigarette out, you're rolling the dice. You are taking a risk that I wonder you would take if you knew what the possible consequences were. And
well, what would be the consequences of telling you to put your cigarette out?
Look, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and to tell me, put my cigarette out, I'm going to say to that person, all right, because this again is part of the article that I'm writing for the Courier, for the Sunday feature. Okay, you want me to put my cigarette out, and let's say they say...
Let me role play with you, could I?
I'm sorry, Phil?
Let me role play. I'll be the person coming up to you and asking you to put the cigarette out.
All right, for what I would say to you...
No, let me just really, let's really role play this, if I could. You're out in a mall. Let's say you're down there at the Fashion Square or the Fashion Island in Newport Beach.
All right.
And you're smoking a cigarette somewhere in a public area near the Hard Rock Cafe. And I walk over and I say, "Excuse me, sir, I'm with my children. Would you put that cigarette out?"
All right. And I would say to you, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. Now, do you want me to put it out?
And I'd say to you, I still would like you to put it out. Yes, sir, if you don't mind.
At that point, then, I've got to kind of reach down inside of me, Phil.
But can you tell me what you'd say to me?
What I would say to you, if you said to me, put the cigarette out, and then I say to you, all right, I'm gay. Now what do you think of my smoking? And you say, you still want me to put it out?
Yeah.
I think that's... See, that's an example, and I would write about that. That's an example of some real risk-taking. To tell me to put my cigarette out, and
well, how's it a risk? I mean, in other words, what are you going to do?
Well, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, all right, and I've taken a lot as a gay person: bashing, bigotry, hate speech, discrimination, name calling. So I've been through a lot, and you want to challenge me on my smoking? I honestly doubt seriously if you would say to me, yeah, I still want you to put it out.
Well, as a journalist, though, you're going to document that, right?
That is correct.
So as a journalist, if I come up to you and I say, I'd like you to put your cigarette out, and you say, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, I'm not, you know, now what do you think of my smoking? I say, I'd still like you to put it out.
I'm going to document that you go into a category of people who are a little risky. And forgive me, Phil, I don't have to say it. It's a little bit stupid.
You call that stupid behavior?
I call it very stupid behavior. You say to me, you put the cigarette out, I go, yeah, I'm gay. Now what do you think about it? You go, well, I still like to put it out. Buddy, you're asking for it. You know.
All right, I maybe I'm not getting you clearly or whatever. I'm talking with Doug Danger from the Orange County Courier. Doug is a... He is a entertainment writer for the Courier. Today's the Great American Smokeout, and... As part of this article, and I know you talked to him, Chris, earlier, he's going to go out to a public place, light a cigarette, and see who has the, quote, and I'm quoting him, the temerity to come up to him, a gay man and a gay journalist, and tell him to put the cigarette out. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. It's one of those iffy areas, you know, where smoking is prohibited, or smoking is looked down upon, and yet it is still legal. And so we do have a society where we feel free to comment on people smoking. Mr. Danger seems to be indicating that he is an out gay man and an out gay journalist, and you are risk-taking or engaging in reckless behavior by walking up to him and telling him to put his cigarette out. 1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Henry Show will be right back.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
I would rather put my eyes out with a stick from a tree than look at you. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Back with me is Doug Danger from the Orange County Courier. Doug is writing an article for the Sunday Courier. It's a feature on the Great Smokeout. And I guess what you're saying, the risky behavior of people who walk up to individuals they don't know and ask them to put their cigarette out?
The individuals they don't know, Phil. And also, as a gay man, as a gay journalist, it takes on a different dimension. Because I'm gay, someone walks up to me and tells me to put my cigarette out, I'll say to them, I happen to be gay. Now, do you want me to put it out? Now, if they want to push it, as you said, he said, yes, I still want you to put it out. I would like them, I'd love to see somebody look me directly in my eye, because I am gay, and insist I put that cigarette out. Because once I make eye contact, once I lock eyes with them and I tell them, I'm gay, you still want me to put this out? And I make eye contact, and I mean eyeball to eyeball, I'm going to find it very, very difficult to believe someone's going to insist that I put that cigarette out. But this is not really about me putting out my cigarette. This is about why would anyone want to take, you know, what's the word we like to use, their cojones in their hands, and walk up to me and tell me to put my cigarette out? That's fascinating to me.
Because you're a gay man and a gay journalist.
Well, I've been out, Phil, since late September, walking the road that all gay people walk. And it's a tough road. And, you know, they say walk a mile in a man's shoes, and you've just walked a mile away with some other guy's shoes, you know. But in all seriousness, what you're doing is...
I haven't heard that before. That's very funny.
No, but seriously, in all seriousness, what you're doing is you are engaging in public behavior that could be risky.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. I'm going to go to Angie, take some phone calls for Doug Danger. Angie, go ahead.
Yes, I'm here.
And
hi.
You need to turn your radio down, Angie, okay?
I'm turning it down.
Go ahead, ma'am. You're on the air.
Yes, hi.
Hi.
Hi. Are you the host? I am talking to you.
I'm the host,
TV.
Yeah.
Yes, hi. I'd like to say that my brother is gay, and I don't think that he ever would rub this into my face, that anyone in the world should feel intimidated just by walking up to him and say, hey, can you please put your cigarette out?
Right.
I don't think it has anything to do with being gay.
Ma'am, this is Doug Danger. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Your name is Angie, right?
Yes.
Angie, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist.
Yes, I said it 17 times. I counted.
Well,
Because you have a gay brother, nothing against gay.
You have nothing against gay people, and yet you got a little homophobic there, and I want to know why that is.
How did she get homophobic?
Well, she says I don't want it rubbed in her face. Believe I got nothing I would want to rub in your face, Angie, for a lot of different reasons. But what I'm trying to say is this.
Okay.
I'm gay.
Yes.
You walk up to me and ask me to put my cigarette out.
Okay.
I mean, as we like to say around the old body shop, where do you get your, you know what's big enough to walk up to me, a gay man and a gay journalist?
Okay.
See what I'm saying?
I think what we're all having a problem with here, Doug, is why does it take such guts?
Okay, that is two different things. We are talking about...
Angie, would you walk up to me? Would you go eyeball to eyeball with me? I mean, get your eye right up to mine and say, put your cigarette out? I don't think so.
This is a different thing that we're talking about. Once we're talking about your being gay and how dare I go to you and say it to you. The
yes,
other
ma'am.
Thing you're talking about is going anybody and saying, can you please put your cigarette out? That's two different things.
Well, the article I'm writing, I'm a gay man in a gay journal, so I'm doing it from my standpoint.
Okay, that was 19th time.
Would you walk up to me, go eyeball to eyeball with me, and tell me to put my cigarette out? I don't think so. But I'd like to meet the guy that would.
But it has nothing to do with you being gay. It has something...
What's wrong with me being gay? Now, you
nothing.
Said you got a
this
gay...
Is what I'm,
well, there's a little bit of homophobia going on there. And
the lady's not homophobic.
Well, she sounds like she's got a problem with my being gay, and I want to get to the
no.
root of that.
Oh, come on.
Are you Latin? You sound as if you're from the Latin culture.
Listen, I
think... And your brother is a Latin gay man. That's not an unusual thing to be.
No, absolutely not Latin. I'm not a Latino. I'm a white
How?
Female.
All right. Well,
and
being
what
gay
I'm saying is
part of what I am.
Finish?
And I'm gay.
Yeah, but would you let me finish?
But
I'm getting this feeling.
You know I'm gay, right?
She knows that, yes.
Okay.
All right, look,
let
Angie,
let's
very quickly, then I got to move on to another call.
Okay. What I'm trying to say is that this
that
gentleman
gay.
Has two different issues.
And I'm gay,
one
man.
Issue is that he's being gay. That has nothing to do with anybody having the guts
well,
walking
like saying,
to anyone, gay or not gay,
have you got the guts to come up to me,
out.
A gay man, and say, put your cigarette out, is all I'm saying. It's like saying, do I have the guts to come up to you, a Mexican, and say, you know, put your
but
cigarette out.
But I'm not
out.
A Mexican. Stop
well,
saying
I
that.
I don't know. Is there something wrong with being Mexican?
What?
All right, look, Angie, never mind. Why'd you ask her that?
Well, I thought she was Mexican.
No, she may be French, for all I know.
Well, I misspoke, but I don't know why she was so put out by that.
All right, anyway, 1-800-449-8686. Lauren, hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Doug Danger. Lauren?
Oh, hi.
Go ahead, ma'am. Nope, no problem.
Well, just listening to this guy, if someone walks up to you and says, sir, can you please put your cigarette out? I mean, it shouldn't
yes.
be risky behavior. It should just be a question. And when you say, I'm gay, I mean...
I am gay.
I just don't understand.
No, here's
I
what
know.
Let's
I know,
play.
And I just don't understand why that would have any effect.
Yeah.
Like, why would you want to be viewed differently for
well, here,
being
here's
gay?
What I'm saying. Well, here, Mr. Henry did this. I thought this was very helpful. Let's say I'm smoking a cigarette, and I don't know where you are, Lauren, but let's say I'm in a public place. Come up to me now. You tell me to put my cigarette out. Go ahead. Just say it to me as if you see me smoking a cigarette.
Sir, will you please put your cigarette out?
I'm gay. Now, do you want me to put it out?
Sir, that actually has nothing to do with why I asked you to put your cigarette out. So,
well,
yes, I would like you to keep it out. But you know what? Honestly, I agree with the
you're
fact
really
that you shouldn't just...
Well, wait
it's
a minute.
A public place.
You didn't say... Lauren, you didn't hear him say you're really asking for it.
Well, I didn't...
Well, that's what you said. When she said, I'd still like you to put it out, you're asking for it.
Look.
Well, your aggression is your own problem,
if
sir.
I go,
it's not someone asking you to... If you're making, like, honestly, I don't think that if you're
say,
in a public place, sir,
yes,
just listen for a second.
Yes,
I mean,
ma'am.
If you're in a public place, I don't think that you really have the right to go up to someone and say, can you put your cigarette out? You
well,
can move
point.
Along.
That's the point, yeah, exactly.
Okay, well, it seems you're making the point your sexuality, which is really nothing. I mean, I have a lot of gay friends, and I think it's a little offensive that you want to make it such a big deal
ma'am,
that I should be intimidated.
Well, I'm an out gay man. I'm an out gay journalist, and I'd love to meet the guy that comes up to me, goes eyeball to eyeball with me now. I'm talking about, would you do that? Would you go right up to my eyeball and say, put it out? I don't think so.
What do you mean eyeball to eyeball?
I mean, come up nose to nose and say, put it out after I tell you I'm gay.
Okay, sir. Well, what if somebody went up to you there in that baseball stadium and they're sitting next to you and they say, sir, can you please put your cigarette out? And you say, I'm gay. And if it's a woman, what if she goes, well, I'm pregnant and I'm sitting next to you, so could you please put that out? I mean, what, is that a risk?
That's not the point. She's pregnant or not.
Well, it's not the point if you're gay or not. Is someone else being uncomfortable with your smoke?
But if you're brushing eyelashes with me and you can look me in the eye and say, put it out, knowing I'm gay, we've got ourselves a situation.
Why is it a
all right,
situation?
Okay.
Why
Lauren,
is it
I got to take a break here. 1-800-449-8686. Doug Danger with me on The Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
On the line with me is Doug Dagger from the Orange County Courier. He's the feature writer there. Of course, he's the entertainment writer. We are talking about the Great American Smokeout, which is, I guess we're a day late and a dollar short on this thing, Doug, but you are mentioning cigarette smoking being bad for you.
Absolutely, Phil. I would not in any way, shape, or form want this to come across as if I'm encouraging cigarette smoking. What I'm saying is I'm a cigarette smoker. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and I also smoke cigarettes. Now, if you want to walk up to me in a public place where smoking is legal,
I understand. It's a public place where there are no signs prohibiting it.
That is correct. And go eyeball to eyeball with me and say, I want you to put that out. And I'm saying go eyeball to eyeball. In other words, look me in my eye. Because as a gay man and a gay journalist, I've developed, as all gay people do, a sense. You know how they say that deaf people can hear better? Gay people see in terms of our sensibility. Some people call it homo eye, gay eye, whatever you want to call it. But I can look with the gay eye and see whether or not you're serious. And I'd love to see it happen. I'd love it.
That sounds threatening.
What does?
What you just said there, I'd love it.
No, I'm just saying, I would be very curious.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. This is Stefania. Stefania, go ahead, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yes.
Yes, ma'am, go ahead.
You know, I'm only 5 feet tall, but I would love to go eye to eye with you and ask you to throw out your cigarette.
You want to go eyeball to eyeball with me, even though it's legal to smoke a cigarette where I'm smoking it. I'm gay.
Well, I mean,
you're aware that I'm gay.
That's not even the point. I mean, I approach you and I'm not going to judge you by
anything.
I'm not going to judge you by what you're wearing, by what you're saying, by what anything. Here, you have a cigarette in your hand.
Hold up, I'm sorry. Hold on.
You can't take calls here, Doug.
Hold up, yeah, I'm on the roof. That was a call, Stephanie and Phil. You might be interested. That's just some people calling me and saying, "You go, man." They're hearing me on the air. They're hearing what I'm saying.
Are they other gay people?
No, just regular people who read my columns.
Okay. What you're saying is that you would love to have someone go eye to eye with you.
Yeah, but.
And I'm saying I would love it. Even if I'm standing next to you, I'm only going to judge you by the fact that you have a cigarette in your hand.
I'm sitting there. I'm smoking a cigarette. It's not prohibited. And you're going to go eyeball to eyeball with me, and you're 5 foot tall. How's
sure.
that going to happen? What, are you going to go get a soap crate somewhere?
I mean, if you turn around and say to me, I'm gay, I'm a gay journalist, I'll say, congratulations, can you put your cigarette out?
Wait a minute. I'm 5'10". If you're only 5 foot, how do you go eyeball to eyeball? I really want to know.
Well, I look up and you look down.
That's not eyeball. I'm not going to crouch down and get my eyeball up against yours.
I mean, but that's what you said. You'd love it. And I'm offering it to you.
You're doing something very risky and you're laughing about it.
But see, that's the lovely part of this country, is that I can speak to anyone that I want to.
Would you turn the phone off, Doug?
Hold on, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
You know, they have much more modern rings.
What I would say, Stephanie, is this. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist.
Wonderful.
I don't know whether you've got a problem with gay people or not.
Absolutely
sounds
not.
Sounds to me
no.
like you do. No, it sounds like you do.
No,
and I would look
no.
into that situation. I'm smoking a cigarette, and someone comes up to me and says, put it out. And I say, I'm gay. Now what do you think about it? Nine times out of ten, they're going to back off.
Okay, so here's the thing. You're saying that I'm, by approaching you.
Turn the phone off, Doug, honest.
I didn't know you could hear that, I'm sorry.
So by approaching you, I've stepped on your toes because you're gay and you're a gay journalist. But just a few minutes ago, you were judging a caller, calling her Latino, and she wasn't even Latino.
She had an accent, didn't she?
Yeah, but you were totally wrong.
It's totally logical to think she's a Mexican. What's wrong with that?
No.
What's wrong with that?
You assume, which is why I'm not going to assume anything about you, but just go by what I see.
And
what I'm going to see is that you're smoking. I'm not going to see anything else beyond the fact that you're smoking.
But then I'm going to tell you I'm gay and I'm a gay journalist and you got to back up.
Wonderful.
All right, Stephanie, I got to take a break. Hold up. Thank you. 1-800-449-866. So the minute you say you're gay and that you're a gay journalist.
I'm sorry, but a lot of people are calling in. They're loving what I'm saying. They're calling my cell phone and they're.
Please turn it off, Doug, because it's an intrusion on what we're trying to do.
I apologize. But I'm trying to let people know I'm gay. You want to walk up to me and tell me to put my cigarette out? I'd love it.
You'd love it. It sounds like you want to get into some kind of... You want to start some stuff, man.
No, I don't want to start anything. I'm simply saying, you've got to understand as a gay man and as a gay journalist what I've been through.
All right, here is Donna. Donna, hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hello.
Yes, Donna, how you doing?
I'm fine. I was just driving home, and I'll tell you what, I am... First of all, I'm confused here. Can you not be respectful and turn the phone off? He's asking
several
times.
Ma'am, my phone is... I'm a reporter.
I mean, you're
I'm a journalist.
Gay,
ma'am,
you're a gay journalist.
I'm a gay
can
journalist. I keep the phone on because you never know when someone is calling me from the assignment desk
well,
or I've got a deadline to meet.
It's rude. He's asked you to turn it off.
I'm working. I don't know what you're doing.
I am 5'3", and I would be more than happy to look you. I'll stand on the table and look you,
you know,
in the eye and tell you,
you
please put your cigarette out.
You know, you ever heard the term telephone cowboy? You ever heard that term? Because that's what you're,
I think,
you know,
the whole,
you know,
issue here,
I think,
is
you're a telephone
you are
cowboy.
Struggling with the fact that you're gay. You're,
I'm a gay man and a gay,
with
no,
it, not us.
How could I have an issue with it when I'm proud to say I'm a gay man and a gay journalist?
But
I've got gay
why
eyes.
Why are you making that the issue?
What's
the issue
wrong with the fact of me looking at you with the gay eye?
Well, yeah, let the lady finish, okay?
Fine, go ahead.
Let me talk.
Go ahead.
I'm the one calling in here.
Is the lady going to say anything, Phil?
Yeah, I'd like to, but the phone's interrupted me.
Don't forget my phone and say what you got to say. My phone's my business.
I am 5'3". I will be more
you
than happy.
You said that already.
Happy.
You don't like me saying I'm gay, but you said you're 5'3" about
to
18 times now.
Are you going to let me talk?
If I hear anything, I'll let you know.
You're asking everyone. You'd love to see someone do it. I'll be happy to do it. I'm 5'3". I'll look in the eye and I'll say, please put out your cigarette.
All right, and then I'll look
at
you.
It has nothing.
Okay. Then I will look at you with gay eye
it
and say
nothing,
no.
Nothing to do with you being gay.
Absolutely.
Absolutely nothing.
Yes, it does, because you're going to look at me after you say that. Then I'm looking at you with gay eye.
Who cares about your gay eye? Who cares about
you would,
gay?
Because at the minute I say, no, I'm not going to put it out, you back off.
All right. So now what we're saying here, Doug, just so I know. The lady's come up to you. She said, would you put the cigarette out? You say, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. No, I won't. She says, I would still like you to put it out. Then you say, you go eyeball to eyeball with a gay eye and say, I'm still not going to put it out, and she'll back off.
Absolutely.
No, I will not.
Oh, yes,
bring
will.
It on.
Bring on what? You know, what
bring
are you gonna
it
do?
On.
What are you going to do? You going to grab the cigarette and put it out?
I'll take
go get your husband.
Stomp it out, yeah.
Ma'am, you
if
know as well as you know as well as I do. You
I don't
wish
care if you're gay. I don't care if your gay partner's with you.
Ma'am, I don't care if your husband's with you. I'll tell you
well,
that.
Well, that's
you
where
wish
I come in.
Yes,
well, here he is, right here.
Okay.
Now look. Whatever your name is, what's your name there, cowboy?
Jeff, don't say anything because you're not allowed to be on. It's between me and him.
Not allowed to be on. What's he on? Work release? I'll tell you what, right now, you wish you didn't say that after you get a glare from your homo eye.
Oh, please.
Yeah. I got to take this call. I'd rather take this call and talk to you.
Yeah, because I'm standing up against you.
No, you're just some midget who thinks she's going to go eyeball to eyeball with the homo eye.
Okay,
ain't going to happen.
Wait a minute. Your
with
name's
the homo
calling eye. Me, but if I call you a faggot, what's that going to do?
Oh, look at that. I didn't say anything that's racial, or I didn't
you
say
called me a
you
midget?
Called me a faggot? You know what I think
did
I'd
you
love?
You call me a midget?
You know what? If I wasn't such a humanitarian,
did you call me
if
a midget?
I wasn't such a humanitarian, I'd kick your teeth right out of your head right in
bring
front of your husband.
Did you call me
I'd
a midget?
Forget it. Hello?
You called me a midget.
All right. I dare say, Donna, that isn't quite as hateful as faggot.
Yeah, well, she don't get
why
that.
Why not?
I tell you what. You bring your husband over, I'll kick his teeth out, too, and I'll have you cook me breakfast. How about that? Yeah, is this the animal shelter?
Will you get off that phone? Thank you very much. 1-800-449-8686. What do you mean, the animal shelter?
I'm nothing.
We'll be coming right back on the Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Here is Billy. Billy, go ahead.
You know, I'm going to tell you something, pal. You know what? I'll look you in the eyeball. I don't care if you're gay or if you're not gay. Hey, you're very disrespectful for what? I'm a man.
I'm smoking a cigarette. I got to smoke a cigarette, okay? It's not illegal to smoke a cigarette in a public place.
I don't care. I'm not saying that.
All right?
I'm not saying that. You're over here talking to women. I'm a man. I weigh 265 pounds, and I'll bust you right in the damn mouth.
All right.
How's that?
Okay, so you're 265 pounds of donut oil. Good for you.
You think I'm doing it all? I think I'm throwing it off.
You sound like a long, cool drink of water to me, buddy.
All right, gentlemen.
No, wait, here's the thing. I'm smoking a cigarette in a perfectly legal place. Up comes Cowboy Billy here, and he says to me, put it out. I say, hey, I'm gay. You going to tell me to put it out now? And he says, yeah. And then I say,
I don't care if you're gay.
Go eyeball to eyeball with me, man. He'll back off.
I don't care if you're gay. What's it got to do with you being gay?
You know what?
You know what you are? You're hiding. You're like all these other people want to hide behind sexuality.
Hey, look.
And we're all supposed to back off.
Hey, look. Yeah, you tell me that you don't have a cruller lodged in your throat right now, man? I can hear a glazed donut lodged in your esophagus.
What?
All right.
Look, I'm
gay. You something.
You know I'm gay?
I don't care if you're gay or not.
But do you know I'm gay?
My wife's pregnant, and if my wife's pregnant and you're smoking a cigarette, What the hell are you doing, taking phone calls on a talk show?
Yeah, I'm trying to get a little conversation going here instead of being yelled at here by Cowboy Billy and his pregnant wife. And what you doing bringing another kid into the world anyway, before you can hardly afford the ones you got? Now, the thing...
Hold on for a minute.
What
all of this is...
just say?
All of this is personal stuff, okay?
You don't know me. You don't know me, number one.
How's your wife going to get pregnant with her belly in the way?
Well, let me ask you a question, jerk.
Well, yeah.
You know what? I'll tell you what. You know what? I'm glad you're gay. You know why? Because you can't...
Turn off the phone, will you?
Species.
What?
You can't perpetuate your species. In other words, I'm glad you're gay, because you can't have any kids that's going to act like kids.
It's too bad. We might be able to bring some bright people into this world instead of just one more kid's going to be sailing chain-link fence for a living.
I'll tell you what. I've listened to a lot of talk shows in my life, but I've never been so mad to call one up like this.
Oh, bullcrap. You're good. You'll get over it, man.
You know what? You just told a lady before me, you're going to kick her teeth in.
Hey, she comes up to me. She comes up to me and calls me a faggot. I'll kick her ass around the block for drill and her husband, too. Then I'll knock down the back door, kick her Doberman pincher in the teeth, and have her cook me an omelet.
Calm down. You're going to stroke out and spit up
your donuts.
You're a big man on the phone,
okay,
brother.
Guys.
I can tell you're one of those big men on the phone, but face-to-face with your little homo eyes.
Hey, dude.
If I walked up to you, I guarantee you'd put that cigarette out.
Hey, let me tell you what.
I'd stuff it up your nose.
Hey, you know what? That's big talk. But I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and I got the gay eye. You want to look me in the gay eye?
I'll poke your damn gay eye out.
All right, look, guys, you know what this is? This is nothing more than a fist fight, okay? This is a bar fight you guys are engaged in.
This guy is
not a bar fight. He's got no respect for people.
What are you talking about? This lady called me a faggot? Are you kidding me, man? You're right. I would kick her ass.
Let me ask you something. If the shoe fits, wear it.
Hey, tell me if the shoe fits here. Now, let me ask you something. The first sexual experience you had, was with it a heifer or was it a goat?
I'm not even going to dignify that remark.
Dignify that with a remark? Look, man, I'm sorry if I'm insulting your girlfriends, okay? But
it's not my girlfriend.
Right.
It's my wife, you idiot.
That's the first sexual experience you had.
And what are you doing it with? You must be doing it with a dog.
Not a dog, a human being. Okay, look at man. Cows are for milking and making steaks out of, not for making love to.
I wish to God you come to Alabama and you come put blow smoke in my face and find out what's going
to
happen.
Now, why would I want to come to Alabama?
You're right. We don't want you here. You're probably in damn San Francisco where you belong.
No, I'm in Los Angeles, okay? The only reason why I'd go through Alabama is to get to Miami.
Go around, my friend. Go around. Go by the panhandle.
All right, okay, guys.
Hey, look, I'll look with the gay eye.
Bug off with the gay freaking eye. Will you turn that phone off? They got a little bit more contentious than I wanted it to. The fact of the matter is, Mr. Danger's writing his article for the Courier will be out on Sunday about cigarette smoking and how walking up to him, a gay man and a gay journalist, and telling him to put it out takes some real cojones. 1-800-449-8686. You can email Doug Danger at Doug Danger, and the last name is spelled Danger at philhenryshow.com. That's Doug Danger, Danger at philhenryshow.com. My apologies to those of you who are on the phone waiting to get on. Phil Henry Show later on tonight. We've got Clara Bingham. We'll be talking about coming up on our show tomorrow night, but we'll also have a flashback from Bobby Dooley. We've also got Phil on remote. I'll be out at Highland and Hollywood Boulevard later on tonight. And what about Lawn Jockey Anonymous? You heard of this organization? These are people who really miss their lawn jockeys. We'll be talking with them tonight on The Phil Henry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil Henry Show. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Justin McElroy was on our show last night. He is a 17-year-old junior from Canyon High School. He wants Sadie Hawkins Day eliminated. He says young men today are already pressured enough by older women who are coming onto them. Here's
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
I am a 50-year-old woman. I'm a psychologist. I deal with individuals and marriage and family issues.
Yeah.
And what I want to tell you is I have a 15-year-old son and I have a 12-year-old daughter. And what I want to say to you sincerely is what you have shared over this line tonight, you have some serious issues that I'm just saying.
You sound like the doctor that my parents sent me to like 2 years ago. You got really serious issues.
But let me tell you something.
I don't have no serious issues.
You have some serious issues. And I'm not saying your mother and her friends don't. But with what you're conveying over this line and your anger.
Do you think I need medication or something? Maybe you could give me some drugs.
Okay, look,
your anger
have a little respect.
And your attitude about women, you are going to be in deep trouble if you don't get some help.
Oh, okay. So in other words, I'm like a rapist. I'm a potential rapist or something. Is that what you're trying to say?
Did I say that?
Yeah, that's basically what you're saying. And also,
I'm sorry if I'm saying
that like women in their 50s are kind of skanky, but that's just where, you know, it's at. And I don't like the fact that my friends and I have to sit there and go, oh, yeah, this is Russell.
Well, what does that have to do with Sadie Hawkins Day? What does that have to do with women that are your age?
They're beasts in training.
What do you mean, beasts in training?
The girls at our high school who are being told, go ask these guys to dance, they are beasts in lycra pants in training.
What does that mean, beast in a lycra pants? Is that your mother and her friends?
Well, yes, sir.
Do you not think that you have a serious issue about women?
No, I like women. I just don't like the idea that
that you've said that sounds like you like women. It sounds like you were so pissed off.
Well, what do you want to charge me, $150 for that or something? I mean,
if you care about having a relationship in this life, you need to go get some serious help.
Wait a minute. If I want to have a relationship with a woman like you, but suppose I want to have a relationship with a woman who understands me. Okay, yeah. Yeah. How do you like me now?
Well, listen, I must not be that bad. Okay. I must not be that bad because I have a 15-year-old son who is an incredible young man.
And he's got
a healthy attitude about women.
Okay,
are you aware of the fact that
any kid that is that separated from his shadow has got some serious problems? If your kid's acting all happy to you...
What do you mean separated from his shadow? What, are you doing some psychology?
I took some psychology at a community college last summer, yeah.
So what are you saying about this woman's son? He's separated from his shadow?
Yeah, he's acting all nice.
He's acting all nice to her,
and the meanwhile, he's probably out shooting dogs and stuff for all she knows.
Let me tell you something. Your rage can turn into something very dangerous.
Yeah, I'm probably going to go out.
All I want to say is I'm glad that my daughter is not around.
Well, I got pictures of little kids. Do you want to turn me in?
Hey, your smart-ass attitude is not helping this furthering your cause at all.
No, but I just hope to God that you don't go out and hurt some woman, because the race that you have, you are very capable of it.
You're probably looking for it all the time. Hey, you better check your son's drawer, by the way. He's probably got a big baggie of some strawberry cushion there.
You are so sick. Do you not realize that?
Okay, Doc. Hey, when you get your doctor's degree, could you, like, call me until then?
Well, you know what? If you don't want to go up for some rape or injuring some woman,
Cleo,
you really need to get some help.
Hey, kid, you're being disrespectful now to somebody who's older than you. Do you understand that?
She's coming on like Miss Cleo.
Do you understand that?
Yes,
Jason,
sir.
I am serious with you.
This is the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
We continue talking about the war on terror with one individual, citizen Stephen Bozell. You have taken the president's words that we need to be alert to heart, correct?
Without question, Phil, and that's what I think we all should do. And when people try to inhibit you from speaking your mind, and when people try to inhibit you from speaking of things that you feel are important, and I think that impedes the rights of all people. And unfortunately, that's happened to me. I think it's happened to a lot of people.
So, in other words, the freedom of speech of people who are speaking in favor of the war on terror is being affected, as well as those who are speaking against it?
Oh, without question. An example is of what happened in my own life, and the reason why I have brought the lawsuit that I brought. This is important because even your very best friends are going to keep you from speaking your mind about the Iraq war and what President Bush is trying to do.
What was it that happened at your home on the night that you're talking about?
I had some friends over, and these are neighbors of mine. These are gentlemen who are named prominently, the suit Jerry Christopher, also Roy Hutchins, and a few other gentlemen are there. Mr. Hutchins is my next-door neighbor, and I have a ping-pong table in my garage, and it's a place where we're very fortunate. A lot of my neighbors, mostly the men after work in the evening hours, come over and play. And on Friday night, three of these gentlemen from our block, and Jerry comes over. He lives on La Tiena, which is in our neighborhood here, and we were playing ping-pong, and I said something that I've been wondering about for quite some time. If you look at Osama bin Laden, and you look back on the old James Bond movies, and the villains that Mr. Bond had to face, whether it was Dr. No gentleman or the Goldfinger or the Thunderball villain and so on, that it seems Osama bin Laden has patterned himself on these gentlemen, and that he wants to be, you understand, a supervillain or what have you.
And now, you were talking to these gentlemen about this in your garage?
Yes, sir, I was. And I was talking about how it's possible, because bin Laden did a lot of traveling in Europe and so on during his youth, that he would have been exposed to these films and so forth. And the reason why I'm bringing the civil rights lawsuit is because of my exercise, my free speech, that I've been subjected to harassment.
At the hands of these gentlemen that were in your garage, because you're there playing ping pong with these guys, just a group of the neighborhood men. Correct, Mr. Bozell?
Yes, sir.
And that's when you made the comment you felt that Osama bin Laden may be patterning himself after certain James Bond villains.
Or any of these so-called supervillains, what have you, from the comic books. And so, Mr. Christopher, the gentleman who's from the next block, started it. And the comment, I spoke with my attorney about the comment that came from the gentleman by the name of Roy Hutchins, who's actually my next-door neighbor, and he said, and I'm looking at my notes, oh, is that right, Steve? And do you think maybe Lex Luthor bombed Pearl Harbor too? End quote. And immediately I note there was general laughter and there was derision at my expense. And
now, you mentioned something about your son. So this man came up with a sarcastic comment.
Well, it was an effort to get me to be quiet. It was an effort to get me to stop talking about possible ways to get Osama bin Laden.
All right, you mentioned your son was present.
I spoke with my attorney about that as well. She informed me that belittling a man in the presence of one of or all of his children can be actionable, in that I was basically called an idiot in front of my son, who also joined in.
What do you mean? Your son joined in?
Yes, sir.
What do you mean?
Well, he was under the influence of these adults, and he come off with his smart, you know, talk and everything. I mean, excuse my language.
But what did he say?
He said that, and I kept a notation of this.
Are you reading from notes, sir?
Yes, sir, I am.
Okay.
My son said, hey, Dad, bin Laden is about religion and not money like the James Bond villains are. And then he was laughing.
He said that bin Laden is about money, not... bin Laden's about religion and not money.
Bin Laden's about religion, not money, but he also laughed. Okay, my own son laughed at me.
All right, you're talking about taking legal action against these men, correct? Suing them, right?
Well, let me explain something. I have a First Amendment right to express my political views, and right now our country needs all the help it can get. And those men laughing at me infringed on my human rights to free speech, and I was talking about a solution. And
so what are you suing them for? And our number, by the way, 1-800-449-8686, Mr. Bozell, for people listening at home.
Certainly.
1-800-449-8686. You mentioned in your garage that these guys, that Osama bin Laden may be trying to pattern himself after comic book supervillains or something, and they laughed at you.
That is correct, and I'm certainly, I'm not against people laughing, okay? But when it comes to a violation of my civil rights, which is the same thing that happened to Mr. Rodney King or some of these other individuals, Dolores Blazingame is my attorney in our suit.
Well, who are you suing?
I'm suing Roy Hutchins, Jerry Christopher, all the men who were there, Sean Tolan, Mr. Peter Freer, Don Horrocks, and Stephen Bozell Jr., who is an accessory on account of my rights being violated.
And now, Stephen Bozell Jr. is your son, and you are naming him in this lawsuit. Correct?
That is correct. And I can tell you it is a very painful thing. But my civil rights were being violated by those men on that night that I'm talking about.
All right, Stephen Bozell is with me, a man who has filed a lawsuit against six or seven neighbors. I don't know how many men are named in your suit, sir.
Well, it's about, I've got one, two, three, four, five, six individuals.
Six men, including your own son, are being sued for violating your civil rights. When you brought up the possibility that bin Laden was under the influence of James Bond movies, perhaps, they laughed at you.
Well, they laughed, but in a derisive way. And as I mentioned, the comment, hey, Bozell, maybe Lex Luthor bombed Pearl Harbor, this kind of a deal. One of the other gentlemen mentioned something about, maybe the Riddler killed Kennedy. And that was said by Mr. Christopher.
Maybe the Riddler killed Kennedy, meaning the Riddler from the Batman comic series?
Yes, sir. So
What do you mean by the same thing happened to Rodney King?
Well, it was like a gang mentality. What happened to Rodney King was that he was set upon by police officers who were violating the Constitution of the United States of America by beating on him. And the same thing happened to me. I was set on, like on account of a gang mentality, that once this Mr. Christopher said what he said, it became almost a feeding frenzy. Roy Hutchins said about everything, you know.
All right, so they all started laughing at you. Mr. Hutchins said the thing about Lex Luthor bombing Pearl Harbor. Mr. Christopher, the Riddler killed Kennedy, and it became a big laugh fest, right?
That is correct. That is correct.
And is that it?
Pete Freer and also Don Horrocks. I can give you the incidents from the lawsuit.
Yeah, please.
All right. Pete Freer and Don Horrocks started doing the James Bond theme music. They started going, you know, humming it. And
what do you mean by that, humming it?
Well, they were going, you know. And
oh, the James Bond theme.
Yes, sir.
So in the middle of all of this, guys saying the Riddler bombed Pearl Harbor or whatever.
No, the Riddler, they say the Riddler killed Kennedy and Lex Luthor bombed Pearl Harbor. And then they started going on the James Bond theme. And this is what it said. And it was at that time I did become emotionally distraught. And I did run out of the room. It was also mentioned in the lawsuit. And I went into our master bedroom and I laid down there and I guess I just cried. And my wife was in a room reading, and she didn't show any interest at all either. So it affects the entire family.
Can I ask you, when you say Bin Laden is trying to pattern himself after the arch-villains of the James Bond movies and comic books, why did you expect those men to do anything but laugh? You know?
Well, let me answer that question, Phil, because I've been asked that. We are living in a time where we need all the input we can on Bin Laden. And we need some solidarity on the issue. And when someone offers some ideas on Bin Laden and how to catch him, it's very, I think, unpatriotic to laugh at that person. So if they want to laugh at me, fine, but I have it within my rights to not only file a civil action, but to turn those names over to the FBI and the Department of Homeland Security. All right?
But, I mean, these are long-standing...
No, I wouldn't do it, but I do have it within my rights.
But to turn their names over to the FBI and Department of Homeland Security would cause enormous hardship for those people.
I know. I'm saying I wouldn't do it, but I do have the right to do it. So if these guys want to laugh at me, fine. But I can technically turn their names over to the Department of Homeland Security.
Well, I would offer this to you, Mr. Bozell, and our number is 1-800-449-8686. I understand that you care about your country and that you wanted to talk about the possible influences on Bin Laden in the hopes that it might catch him. When you mentioned that he might have been under the influence of James Bond movies, in other words, he wants to be a supervillain, maybe you should have expected the laughter.
Well, not at a time like this, no.
So you didn't expect them to laugh at you?
No, not really. But my attorney said to me, Dolores Blazingame, she said, you had every right to expect that those men would take you seriously. And as the result of them laughing at you, now they're in trouble because I'm going to sue them. And if I wanted to, I could give their names over to Tom Ridge and the Department of Homeland Security.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. In this day and age where people are still debating the war on terror, this man was talking with his friends about what could possibly be influencing Osama bin Laden. He feels it's possible that bin Laden's travels as a young man through Europe exposed him to James Bond movies, and maybe he wanted to become a super villain in much the same way that we see these characters in the Superman comics and the Batman comics, the Riddler and Lex Luthor. His friends laughed at him, causing him emotional distress, and he says infringing on his civil rights of free speech. He's suing them and is also threatening to take their names to the Department of Homeland Security. Are we turning into a country of tattletales? Are we turning into a country of the Fahrenheit 451, which, you know, turning in our neighbors? By the way, Fahrenheit 451 is an actual book by Ray Bradbury about the burning of books. It was not influenced by Fahrenheit 9/11. That's the other way around. Anyway, 1-800-449-8686. It's the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Roasting marshmallows on the everlasting bonfire.
And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
My guest is Stephen Bozell. Mr. Bozell, what do you do for a living?
Yes, sir. I have my own construction contracting business.
In Corona, California?
Yes, sir.
All right, you are suing some neighbors of yours for laughing at you, or as you say, derisively laughing at you, when you mentioned that you thought Osama bin Laden might have been influenced by the James Bond supervillains, and therefore that may be what's motivating him. They laughed at you, made comments about Lex Luthor, and so on. I want to ask you a question before we take a phone call. First of all...
And let me just make one point, Phil.
Sure.
These people, if they continue to laugh at me and my suggestions about how we can catch bin Laden, I'm entitled to be put into witness protection.
You mean witness protection that the FBI uses?
Yes, because I'm making political comments and they're laughing at me, and that is trying to inhibit my free speech. And so if they keep doing it and keep doing it, and it goes on and on and on and on and on and on, then at some point I can apply for the witness protection program through the local, through the post office or something, or it's through the local FBI, I think.
And all right, well, that may be, but what point does my telling a joke stop being a joke and become a violation of your civil rights?
Well, it's a good question. You're allowed to tell a joke about someone, but once that person's making political comments and you make a joke about that, it becomes a violation of the civil rights of the person when they start to feel, you know, it's on the edge legally, but when they begin to feel unsettled, you know, bad about it and like you're making fun of them, then you're infringing under. I can make a joke about, say, if you wear a bad shirt or you're ugly or what have you, that's not a violation of the rights. But if I'm talking about politics, and you make fun of me, and I feel infringed upon, and I feel like I've been terrorized or what have you, then you're allowed to.
Okay, 1-800-449-8686. Here is Jane. Go ahead, Jane.
I think this man has got a real problem. The problem with our country is we're too happy. This gentleman was in a garage with a bunch of his friends. He said something right off the wall. They laughed at him, and now he wants to sue them. I think both him and his lawyer need a good psychiatrist.
Well, are you an attorney?
Pardon me?
Are you an attorney, ma'am?
No, I'm not.
Well, and my attorney tells me that I'm within my rights because I was making a political comment about bin Laden. Okay? Then they started to laugh at me. If I was just saying... Oh, hey, you know, like Mr. Christopher is a friend of mine who walked on the
lip. I guarantee you, sir, Mr. Christopher's no longer a friend with you if you're suing him because he made a comment in your garage.
Well, but I believe
in
my country first.
And your wife is a smart one. She didn't even talk to you because she knows it's nuts. What you're doing is nuts.
Ma'am, I believe in my country first, okay? I did not make
a comment.
Mr. Christopher was born with what they traditionally call, and I don't mean any offense, a hair lip or a cleft palate, and no one, I've never made no joke about it, okay?
Well, good for you.
All right.
I don't think he's going to sue you if you do.
Has he had surgery for it? I'm just curious.
Yeah, he has, but there's a noticeable scar like what the actor Stacy Keach has.
Okay.
I could
make fun of his hair lip. What's that again, ma'am? I'm sorry.
You've got a real problem, and it's not your civil rights, sir. I really think you've got a real inferiority complex. And I think you better grow up, and I think you better talk to somebody before you do something else stupid.
No, but the point I'm trying to make to you, and, you know,
there
fine.
Is no point. You don't sue people for making comments when you're playing ping pong.
I have never commented on this man's hairlet scar or anything like that.
That has nothing to do with it. You're not even making any sense, sir.
Let me jump in if I can. You've had the good taste not to comment on this man's physical scar. Anybody that makes jokes about things like that is really stooping to the bottom of the barrel, unless, of course, yeah, I like to say, unless, of course, we're talking about how fat Michael Moore is. You know.
Well, I happen to be a great admirer of Mr. Moore, so I find that offensive.
All right, but the part, let's just put that aside. But to say you are not allowed to make fun of me because I'm making a political comment.
See, that's what most people don't understand. The lady is right. If the man had just been talking, you know, about, hey, you know, I think that the Kings are going to win the hockey play, the Super Bowl of hockey or whatever they call it. But when I began bringing up national security issues.
That national security issues is not, if you're not making any sense, sir.
Ma'am,
I'm
no,
sorry.
Yes, I am.
Osama Bin Laden is a comic book character. It's not funny. You're not only insulting our country, you're insulting the men fighting it because they're not fighting Mickey Mouse.
Ma'am, I did
this
not say Mickey
very
Mouse.
Dangerous.
I said Thunderball, Mr. Dr. No, if you've seen these films, and so on and so forth.
It has no relevance. You're making no sense. Your friends laughed at you because they really thought you were kidding. Nobody that has any intellectual
it is a far,
would
it,
even listen to you. They'd laugh at you.
It seems to be quite a stretch to say that Osama bin Laden was influenced by...
Why is that, Mr. Henry?
Well,
I mean, the man traveled extensively in Europe. He's from an affluent family. He was exposed to American cinema and British cinema at a very early age. Why wouldn't he, at some point, have just gone off the deep end and wanted to become, you know, Mr. No or
Dr. No?
Dr. No.
This guy is serious?
Ma'am,
is he
I want to tell you, I am speaking of political matters, and for you to laugh at me is
I don't know what
violation.
Else to do.
If a
I
person,
don't know what else to do. I talk to kindergarten children that makes more sense than you do, sir. I live in the mountains, and I have more sense than you do.
Well, I happen to be better informed than the average American. If a person is laughed at, if you laugh at a person for making a political statement, it is like urinating on the American flag. It's like desecrating.
Oh, stop.
No, it's not. Well, first of all,
you need a psychiatrist, sir. You really do.
Ma'am,
your wife had the right idea. She didn't even comment on you. And for someone to go in their bedroom and cry, how old are you?
I beg your pardon?
Are you old enough to know what you're talking about?
Yes, ma'am. I'm 38 years of age, and I can tell you the person
who
needs...
Well, you know what? You're not going to have any friends much longer if you go around suing them because they don't agree with you.
Ma'am, the person who needs a psychiatrist is Mr. No, not me. And
you mean Dr.
Person.
No?
The gentleman
Mr. Hart,
from the...
Why are you having this gentleman on your show? He's wasting valuable air
time.
Well,
he's wasting our court's time with these lawsuits. I appreciate your phone call, Jane. Thank
absolutely.
You. Thank you, ma'am. 1-800-449-8686. It's Dr. No. We're talking with this gentleman. He believes that Osama bin Laden might have been influenced by James Bond villains. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Eight six eight six. The Phil Henry Show is back.
On the show tonight is Mr. Stephen Bozell, who's filed a lawsuit against five individuals from his neighborhood who were playing ping pong one night. It was a very friendly evening for these gentlemen, and talking about the world events, as many men do when they get together and have a few beers. At one point, Mr. Bozell, if I get any of this wrong, please correct me, Mr. Bozell, but at one point, Mr. Bozell said that he felt that Osama bin Laden might have been influenced by the villains from James Bond movies, and was perhaps that might be a place to start looking for clues as to his whereabouts. He was, according to his lawsuit, laughed at derisively. One of the men said, yeah, and maybe Lex Luthor bombed Pearl Harbor. Another man said maybe the Riddler killed Kennedy. Before we get to another call, you mentioned an incident from 1992?
Yes, sir. Oh, that's in the court documents. Yes, sir.
Tell me about that.
Yes, sir. In 1992, I was talking to a crew chief of mine, a gentleman by the name of Cliff Pettigrew, and I said to him at that time, because I had seen Bill Clinton on the televisions and he'd been playing saxophone and all of this nonsense, and I said, I wouldn't vote for Bill Clinton. He looks to me, and I said the words, and I don't have them in a recording, and I don't have them wrote down, but I know I said them. And Pettigrew claims I didn't say them, but I know I did. I said to him, Bill Clinton looks like the kind of guy that would have sex with a Waffle House waitress if he thought she had a gold tooth. Now, it sounds funny, but I was serious. And he laughed at me. And he said, Bush needs to be defeated. I'm voting for Bill Clinton. And he laughed at me.
Maybe he was laughing with you. It is kind of funny.
No, he was laughing at me like I was an idiot. Then we found out, yes, he sure did. He had sex with Jennifer Flowers and Monica Lewinsky as well. And if I'd known then what I know now, that I could have taken it. And I was saying something that all of a sudden everybody thought was terrible, and they impeached him for it.
It is a funny comment.
Well, it is.
I mean, to say that he looks like he'd have sex with a Waffle House waitress if she had a gold tooth is a funny comment.
And but he laughed at me, not with me. And there's a difference when they laugh at you. They're laughing because they think you're funny. When they laugh with you, they don't like you. Or no, it's the other way around. When they laugh at you,
When they laugh at you, they're being derisive.
When they laugh with you, yeah. So,
all right, 1-800-449-8686. Here is Richard. Richard, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Stephen, all I gotta say is you need to grow up and get a life. You are a lousy father, suing your son for laughing at you, sir. I am laughing at you derisively. You're an idiot. You're wasting everybody's time. You're wasting the court's time because somebody laughed at you and you didn't like it. And you want to go get the FBI to put you in a protective witness program. You're an idiot.
Well,
idiot.
Your argument is all name-calling. My argument is based on law.
Your argument is based on
idiocy. I can sue as a result of someone infringing on my free speech.
You know what? I'll tell you what, pal. If you came after me, I'd go after you and your lawyer. I'd own your house and she'd be disbarred.
Yeah. What are you going to sue me for? What'd I do to you? See?
Say if I was one of those guys in your garage.
Oh, they can't touch me because they were on my property when they did it too.
Yeah. Well, you know what? You're a loser. You're a loser.
Really?
You're wasting everybody's time.
Okay, fine.
Why don't you grow up and get a life?
I care about my country.
Why don't you grow up and get a life? I care about my country too. You're a poor example. You're sending a very poor example to your son.
No, I'm teaching him how to step.
Very poor example.
I was in
you're
my
workshop.
You're
an idiot father. You're an idiot husband. And this is not. This is not the way to give your son an example of a man and what men do.
If you want to be sitting there when Bin Laden comes for your wife and kids, you can just sit there and keep on watching TV, man. I'm going to be doing something about it, okay? You're the kind of guy that'll sit there and score right through a home invasion burglary.
Because you don't like what they said.
Yeah, you know what you do?
You're going to sue somebody because you don't like what they said.
You want to throw down?
That's a very immature attitude. You need to grow up, pal.
I wouldn't be talking smack to a man who's, I sound like I'm probably younger than you.
Yeah, I'm 59.
Yeah, well, you want to throw down with me, that's fine.
you're an idiot.
I'm an idiot.
You know what?
Yeah.
Everybody's laughing at you on the air.
They're laughing at me off the air. I'm the one that's on the air. They're laughing at me off the air.
I'm laughing at you on the air.
Yeah, but they're laughing at me off the air, not on the air.
Huh?
What are you talking about? They're laughing at me on the air. They're not on the air.
Everybody's listening to you and laughing. They're saying, what an idiot.
But that shows you're an idiot.
You're crazy. Why don't you do something with your life?
Okay, gentlemen.
No, he's an idiot.
No. Just listen. It's name-calling, okay?
Look, I was in my workshop working on a magazine rack I was making out of balsa with my wife, April, with a Freddy Krueger mask come on up behind me, and she goes, I'm the Al-Qaeda, ooh, like that, making fun of me all the while.
So what, are you going to sue your wife, too?
When I care about my
country... Are you going to sue your wife, too? You're suing your son. Why don't you sue your wife?
Would you sue your wife for that, sir?
Why don't you sue your wife? You're suing your son. Why don't you sue your wife, too?
Would you sue your wife, Mr. Bozell?
I will discuss it with my lawyer, yes, sir.
Oh, man.
Oh, you've got to be kidding me. You are
at
you're
least,
a loser.
I don't have the right to discuss it with my wife. Okay.
No. Are you going to sue your wife?
I want to discuss
it with my wife.
Are you going to sue your wife for coming up behind you in a Freddy Krueger mask?
I will at least check out my rights.
This guy is unbelievable. unbelievable.
Mr. Henry,
I mean, you know.
You laugh at me. You know something here. Okay, listen to this.
You are unbelievable.
Both of you gentlemen can go spinning on a spit in hell.
Oh, he hung up.
He hung up.
He hung up, yeah.
Well, you know, I'll tell you what. You know, with everything that's going on in this world today, and we got...
We certainly don't need people getting their feelings hurt. I mean, it's one thing to get your feelings hurt. You want to sue and go into witness protection?
Yeah, I mean, come on. Get a grip.
Wait a minute. Hold on for a minute.
I need some professional help.
How come this gentleman's still on the air and I'm not?
You hung up on me.
Both of you can rot.
Is he gone?
Yeah,
what happened?
He's gone again. And I'm hearing crickets in a campfire.
Oh, okay. Well, you know what?
Hey, listen, I don't want to talk to this guy. Mr. Bozell?
Yeah, my own mother, Joyce Bozell, phoned on my cell phone and said, "Hey, Steve, this is Saddam Hussein. Bite me."
You going to sue him, too?
Why am I hearing crickets in a campfire?
I'm sorry?
Why am I hearing crickets in a campfire?
Because I want to be by myself. I've been laughed at and laughed at.
Well, you know, the way that you act, it's no wonder that nobody wants to be with you.
I don't want to be with them. That's why I'm out here having a campfire.
You know, your son sure doesn't want to be with you.
All right, listen, Richard, thank you very much. You want to be alone, so you're out having a campfire.
Everyone's laughing at me, yeah.
But why'd you call my show?
I wanted to be alone, but I also wanted to talk, you know, to talk to someone, but not have them laugh right at me.
What you cooking on the campfire?
Why don't you go kiss my... What is that?
I don't hear anything.
Oh, okay, very funny. Okay. Why don't you kiss my bright red rosy, huh?
Hey, Mr. Bozell, I can still hear your campfire. Mr. Bozell? I can still hear your campfire, man, when you're trying to be alone, huh?
Shut up!
Come on, man, I'm fooling around.
Quit it! All you people out!
Hey, Steve!
What?
You figure Bin Laden lives in caves because he wants to be Batman?
You could kiss the devil's private area.
Bin Laden's living in caves because he thinks he's Batman. That's why he's living in caves. Mr. Bozell will sue. And now he's checking his rights with his attorney, Dolores Blazengame, to see if he can sue his wife. Because she snuck up behind him in a Freddy Krueger mask and said, "I'm Saddam Hussein, booga booga," whatever. All right, 1-800-449-8686. The world famous Phil Henry Show. We'll be right back.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
It's going to take a pretty significantly large pair to sue me.
The Phil Henry Show is back.
I was just checking out the villains from the James Bond movies to see exactly what it could be that Mr. Bozell is referring to. Is Osama bin Laden trying to be Dr. No, Red Grant, Arik Goldfinger, or Emilio Largo? I mean, you know who these guys? These were the big guy. The guy from Thunderball was a special agent for Spectre. That was it. Remember Spectre? Alan Spectre. And then there was Ernst Stavro Blofeld. Oh, cool. Yeah, that was the guy who was the bad dude in Dr. No. And he was a bald guy played by Donald Pleasence. Donald Pleasence, I don't think he's still alive, is one of the greatest actors to have ever lived. The guy was a psycho. He played these psychos to the T. Sort of a neurotic, bald-headed, fidgeting, nervous guy that you never trusted, and sure enough, he would stick a shank in your back the minute you turned your face on him, right? Except he did play a good guy in The Great Escape. In The Great Escape, he played, was he the mole? He was one of the guys that was going blind, and it was his job to make counterfeit money. He was a master counterfeiter, but the problem was, he was as blind as a bat, but he made fantastic documents for the guys in the prisoner of war camp so that he would dummy up German passports and ID cards and...
I'd like some tea, that's all I require, really. Just a cup of tea, please.
And he had that kind of nervous face. What a fantastic actor. He was just a lot of fun to watch. He also played the doctor in at least the early Halloween pictures, the one that tried to keep Michael Myers committed. Woo-hoo!
I spent the first 7 years of Michael Myers' life trying to get to him, and the next 7 trying to keep him locked up.
And then I think he's the guy that shoots Michael in the first movie. And, of course, Michael Myers comes back to life. At what point do you just give up? Okay, go ahead, kill me, slaughter me. Obviously, I can't do anything to you. Dun, dun, dun. Halloween 81, Michael Myers. Oh, yeah. Halloween 82, Michael Myers. What's up? Halloween. At what point you just, go ahead, carve me up, man. What do you want to put a hypodermic needle in my eyeball? Whatever you got to do, I can't kill you. Kill me. And plus, at what point does a cat like that take over the world? Wait a second, that's who Osama bin Laden is. Michael Myers from the Halloween movies. Can't kill him. Can't do jack squat to this guy. Burn him. Shoot him. Hack him to bits. Drown him. Blow him up. Get Star Jones to... Nothing will kill him. It's Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. We'll be right back.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Living on the edge, always teetering, never quite falling off. The Phil Henry Show is back.
It's time now for our flashback from our show last night. Carl Misla, a writer for the London Standard, was on to talk about Mary-Kate Olsen and her anorexia and how this is a horrific disease brought on by the Bush administration's policies in Iraq. In fact, Mr. Misla's own daughter has anorexia. He knows she got it just to spite him because she could be one hell of a J.C. Penney catalog model. Anyway, she's on an IV, and he doesn't understand why she has anorexia, other than the fact that he kept telling her she looks like a pig and eats like a cow. Here's Carl Misla from our show yesterday.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
I'm having a really hard time understanding why you think that you can treat a child of any age with disrespect the way that you treat your child.
I don't come from an touchy-feely generation. I come from a hard generation of Brits.
Well, okay, that's fine. But you know what? I have an 11-year-old that did modeling from the age of 2 to the age of 7. You know, I let her eat just about anything that she wants.
Oh, my God.
Now, stop and listen to me. My daughter is 5 feet tall and weighs 63 pounds. She is very small for her, you know, very thin. But you know what? She plays sports. And she takes care of herself. She'll go out and she'll ride her bike. You cannot sit there and tell a child.
You're saying your daughter is a dwarf?
No, she is 5 feet tall.
Well, she's a dwarf then, technically.
No, how old is she, Karen?
She just turned 11.
Oh, she's only 11.
I would have a check for dwarfism, and I don't want to alarm you.
What do you mean dwarfism?
And she's been told she will be 5'10" by the time she is done growing.
All right, can I ask you a question then? One parent to another. What do you do when you walk in, you see your daughter sitting there with a bowl of chili, and she's had the unmitigated gall to grate cheese over the top of it, right? And she's also got the tortilla chips.
Well, you say, you know what, let's go outside and do something. Let's go ride a bike. You don't sit there and look at them and tell them that they're disgusting, they look like a sow, and they look like a cow. You know, I mean, that's what makes a child do what your child has done. I mean, that's just gross. I mean,
wait a minute, Karen. You sound like you're about to cry. And you've got a child that could be a dwarf. Cry for yourself, not for me.
Oh, come on. The lady said her daughter's 11 years of age. She's a little girl.
Does she have the puffy hands?
No.
She may have dwarfism, and dwarfism is certainly nothing you want to mess with. Now, there are hormones...
Well, you forget about whether her daughter has dwarfism or not, and let's talk about the real issue here, the anorexia, and the fact that you might have probably brought it on in your own daughter by calling her a sow and a pig, because the little girl wants to have a milkshake every now and again.
I gave up a lot of my career. I'm running around the country. I'm in an airport terminal right now. I've got to fly off to interview some hillbilly in the Sierra Nevadas who has got some idea for a movie. Can I ask you a question, Karen?
Yes.
What does your daughter sound like when she speaks? Are you all right?
Yeah.
Did I upset you?
No, I mean, I'm fine. I'm just, you know, I just have a really hard time with someone that can sit there and, basically you brought it on yourself.
If you've got a 32-year-old daughter the size that's 5 feet tall, I think there might be dwarfism.
She's 11.
She's 11.
I'm sorry, I thought you said she was 32.
No, my daughter is 11 years. She just turned 11.
Well, then that's perfectly normal. Why are you complaining about how big she is?
I'm not complaining about it. I'm trying to express to you that my daughter goes to me.
At least your daughter, you know, at least your daughter's not a pig like mine, you know.
Well, your daughter's the way she is because of the way you are.
You got daughter with anorexia with a tube in her nose, right?
Get your daughter out and let her play sport.
Well, she got, when I walk into that hotel room and she gives her the hospital room and she gives me the wink like, I'll show you, you piece of...
Well, she's probably really disgusted with you. Because you know what? If I was in that position, I'd probably give you the same look. Because you are disgusting. I don't care how hard you are and how hard your life was and how you were brought up. That is just plain disgusting to be able to look at someone and tell them, you're a cow. Well, I'm over 6 feet tall myself and only 125 pounds. My daughter is not ever going to be fat. You know, and you need to stop.
You're
and
six
really
feet.
Look at yourself and look at it yourself.
You're 6 feet tall and you weigh how much, dear?
She says,
almost 125 pounds.
Really? Well, you must be a knockout. You must be a bloody knockout. I'm trying to be respectful, but you must be a bloody knockout.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
Here is Carl Mesler. He's our favorite insulting, sarcastic British journalist talking about that girl. She must have dwarfism. 1-800-449-8686. There's more to come on the Phil Hendry Show. We've got our mailbag tonight again. We got a follow-up with Don Parsley on what's been happening with him ever since we had him on the show last. And hey, guess what? It may be legal to eat peyote in Utah. It's the Phil Hendry Show.